This is a picture of a typical fracking operation, and it's likely that we will see these in southern Illinois in the next few years, and that's why we're here to talk about hydrologic fracking and what it means for our region. I'm going to give about a 15-minute fracking 101, which is what Professor McCubbin asked me to do. This is a look at a petroleum-rich shale. There's oil and gas in this shale. The problem with it is it's not very permeable. So if you drill a well, the oil and gas can't find its way through the tiny cracks in the rocks to the well. So you somehow have to find a way to increase the permeability so the oil and gas can flow to a well. And it's the marriage of two American-born technologies, hydrologic fracking and horizontal drilling, that has generated over the past several years a shale gas boom in the United States. So what are we doing here? We're drilling, and look at this is over a mile deep, which is the case very often for oil and gas. And then down to the shale gas bed, like we just showed, and then we're gonna turn that drill sideways and go through the shale gas bed. This is a fairly recent technological innovation to do that. The actual fracturing part is half a century old, where pressure and fracking fluid is used to pressurize that shale so it starts to crack. Those cracks increase the permeability so the oil and gas can run to the well, and then the cracks are filled up with a propping agent like sand to keep them open so the gas can continue to flow to the well. Now, over the past several years, this has generated a big increase in unconventional or shale gas production in the United States, which has turned a decrease in U.S. gas production into an increase over the past several years. And this increase in gas production in the U.S. is projected to keep on going up with a higher and higher proportion of our gas coming from shale and other tight gases where increasing permeability is the name of the game. Now, where is this resource found? This is a map from the journal Science of the shale gas plays in the 48 states. The Bennett Shale here in Texas is where these technologies were first developed, and the whole idea of horizontal drilling and hydrologic fracturing was developed. Currently, there's a big gas boom in the Marcellus Shale, especially in the Pennsylvania portion of that geological formation. The reason we're here in southern Illinois thinking about fracking is because of the New Albany shale gas bed that lies to our east that has been projected to be abundant in gas. This is the Marcellus Shale, and most of what you've heard about fracking, whether pro or con, a lot of the story is going to be from the Marcellus Shale, especially in Pennsylvania. And this is a map on a county basis of how many fracking wells have been drilled in every county in the United States. Currently, you don't see too much in Illinois. This is going to start turning yellow, blue, green, and yellow in the future, potentially, as southern Illinois joins other areas of the country in the shale gas boom. Okay, this is a geological look at the New Albany Shale, and I had to go back to a 1982 Illinois State Geological Survey to try to find something on the New Albany Shale. You can see the extent of it here is pretty wide, but the deep and shale-rich part is, you know, to our east. You can see how the bed gets thicker as you go to the east. It's also rather deep, on the order of a mile deep, so it's not shallow. Okay, and this is probably what has you concerned about fracking, is the risks of fracking. And there are real risks that have occurred in areas where fracking has been practiced. Contamination of groundwater, especially with fracking fluids, the content of which is sometimes held as a trade secret. Large demands for water. It takes a few million gallons of water per well. The potential migrations of gases and fracking fluids to the surface, wastewater disposal, and the potential for minor earthquakes due to the pressures involved in the practice. And this publication from last year from the EPA shows some potential pathways where groundwater can be contaminated in the fracking process. Over on the left, you see a leak in a casing well is leaking fracking fluid into a public water supply well in the shallow section. In the middle, fracking is a little overzealous and creates a fissure in the rock. Methane is lighter than water, lighter than oil, so it tends to migrate upward and can get into an aquifer by that route. And finally, this is a fault that could be reactivated by fracking and again provide an upward pathway for methane migration. Now this isn't to say this is what has happened, this is an EPA publication saying these are potential pathways that groundwater can be contaminated by the fracking process. Okay, what's on the pro side for fracking, the benefits of shale gas? Well, natural gas is an important domestic resource for electricity. It's a growing proportion of all of our electricity. It's now about a quarter of all electricity in the United States is from natural gas. It's also the dominant energy source for heating buildings and in industrial processes. Probably most of your homes are heated with natural gas. It could potentially be used in automobiles. There are millions of vehicles on the road today that are fueled by natural gas. It burns cleaner than other fossil fuels in two senses. One, the greenhouse gas emissions per unit energy produced are smaller than either oil or coal. And also, other contaminants tend to be at a low level. On the other hand, if methane leaks, methane is a greenhouse gas that's 21 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So the gas is cleaner only applies if methane is not leaking. Okay, the shale gas boom has decreased America's dependence on imports, and fracking is being used mostly for gas, but also for oil. And we can see that between 2005 and 2011, the percentage of the oil of America's oil consumption that had to be imported has gone down from 60% down to 45%. And this is the first time in a long time where our oil imports have been decreasing. And that makes the United States more energy independent. Moreover, some projections of future energy supplies that would address global warming more vigorously and carbon dioxide emissions more vigorously than we're now pursuing by instituting carbon fees show that natural gas is an important component of a future low-carbon energy mix where renewables and nuclear take over from coal along with gas as the transition fuel. As investigations around the world have started to look for shale gas, they are finding it in every continent where it's been looked for. And this is a rapidly evolving field of figuring out how much shale gas is out there. But as of the last year, we're looking at China and the United States, followed by Argentina, being the shale gas giants of the world. So whereas shale gas was developed in the United States and almost all production using fracking and horizontal drilling is currently occurring in the United States, it's poised to become a global technology with Canada and Argentina next in line and a potential energy revolution in China where I was there a year ago. And yes, the cities are choked with fumes from coal burning. Natural gas could address that issue. So with these basic pro and con facts about fracking, we end up with three views that I think we'll be discussing in this forum here today. The first thing I'm going to call full steam ahead. And in 2005, the Energy Policy Act amended the Safe Drinking Water Act. And it did that by excluding from the underground injection program the underground injection of fluids or propping agents, other than diesel fuels, pursuant to hydraulic fracturing operations related to oil, gas, or the geothermal production activities. Okay, so this has been termed a regulatory loophole that was deliberately introduced into the Safe Drinking Water Act by the 2005 Energy Policy Act. Will Congress close this loophole? We don't know, but if it doesn't, then the issue gets turned over to the 50 states, or at least those that have this production occurring. And that's why a bill being introduced in Illinois is so pertinent at this time, is because that's where the issue now resides, in each of the states. The second view would be banning fracking until much more is known about the risks, or which would be called a moratorium, which would be a temporary ban. And, you know, what's the basis of that view? Well, fracking fluid is not something you want to drink. And these are listed by the EPA as the most common ingredients of fracking fluid. All of them are hazardous air pollutants. One of them, naphthalene, is a carcinogen. Three of them are regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. And yet the precise recipe of fracking fluid is a closely held secret by the companies that are using trade secret laws to not divulge their recipe. The third view, which lies, I think, in between these two views, and is the view I hold on the issue of fracking, is I would term proceed with caution, and therefore with tight regulations. And what are the issues, when you're talking about regulation, what are the regulatory issues? What would a bill have to address in the area of regulation? Well, one is disclosure. Who gets to know what's in the fracking fluid? The second is preliminary study for licensure. How much information about the geological situation, especially the relationship between the shale gas bed and groundwater sources, would have to be investigated by the shale gas company in its permit to get a permit to use hydrologic fracturing. The third is technological safety controls. What will the companies have to do on well casings, on surface handling and fracking fluid in order to absolutely minimize the possibility of either leaks of methane into the atmosphere, leaks of methane in the groundwater, leaks of fracking fluid in the groundwater or surface water? The next issue is liability. If an accident does occur, and they have occurred in Pennsylvania, who gets stuck with the bill? And finally is the benefits and costs to local communities where fracking takes place. So if we have fracking in Harrisburg or in Evansville, Indiana, are they gonna be the better for it or the worse for it?